Today is the feast of St. Matthias. St. Matthias is one of those apostles who, were he not one of Jesus's 12 inner circle, you might feel sorry for him. Because the Bible says about him virtually nothing. Almost nothing. In fact, what it says was that, and we find this in Acts chapter 1, they said that he was one of the men who had accompanied us from the beginning, from the baptism of John to the day he was taken up from us. And that's about it. Now, we have this idea that it was just the 12, and that's it. But that's not really accurate. There were a big gathering of people that followed Jesus all back and forth. Now, this gathering, it sort of expanded and it shrunk depending on whether Jesus was preaching a popular sermon or a really hard-hitting sermon. And so sometimes it was the great multitude, and other times it had shrunk down to just a few. But Matthias was one who had stuck with them through thick and thin. And so was this other gentleman, Joseph called Barsabbas, whose surname was Justice. We know way more about him than we do about Matthias. Because when the apostles gathered together and said, hey, you know, Jesus chose 12. There were 12 tribes of Israel. There's 12 elders. 12 is a sacred number for Israel. We should have 12 apostles. We should have someone to replace Judas. It should be someone who can witness to Jesus' resurrection and his teachings. It should be someone that was with us from the very beginning, who was right with us up to the end. Who can we pick? Well, we've got this guy, Joseph, called Barsabbas, Justice, and Matthias. And they cast lots. They like drew straws. This is not how you want to get a job. This is not how you want to get like the job, your dream job. Okay, pick one. Oh, that's a short one. Sorry. And the really challenging thing is that after this, we never hear of Matthias again. Now, tradition tells us that he went off preaching and was ultimately martyred for the faith. He was killed by those who didn't receive the gospel. But within Scripture, we don't know much about him. In fact, everything that we know about him, you've just heard. Every instance of his name appearing in the gospel, in the entire Bible, you've just heard read. But he made it in the book. And he's one of the 12. But he replaced somebody else. And that's significant because listen to what Jesus says at the Last Supper. As he's gathered his apostle together, one of them who's not going to be there at the end of days, one of them who's not going to be with everybody else, says, I am the true vine and my Father the vine dresser. If anyone does not abide with me, he is cast out as a branch is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. I am the vine, you are the branches. The life is in me, and you get your life from me. And if you don't remain in me, You get pruned. You get cut off and thrown into the fire. This is my Father, and this is how he is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. This is really challenging, because we all have this idea that, I don't know, there's this glorious, phenomenal, wonderful plan that we have for our lives that is perfect and glorious. And when we look at the life of Judas and Matthias, and when we look at the lives of some people around us, it tells us something that is uncomfortable. We can be replaced. Saul was replaced. Heck, Solomon's son, Rehoboam, he was replaced. Split the kingdom. You're not a very good king. We're going to get somebody else to come in your place. Judas was replaced by somebody whose name we barely know. Yes, it's true. We're marked and sealed as God's own forever. We have a covenant with our God who loves us. But that plan, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. That is really, really challenging. That is hard to hear. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to bear fruit. I want to be connected to the vine my whole life so that I'm never part of that group that gets pruned and thrown into the fire. When I go to the other side, I want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," and not, "Depart from me, I know you not." And so I looked at bear fruit. What does it mean to bear fruit? How do we bear fruit? And the one thing that I see over and over again in the Gospels is John the Baptist saying, "Bear fruit worthy of repentance." Bear fruit worthy of repentance. If we go to Matthew chapter 7, excuse me, it's Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist has appeared in the wilderness. He's drawn the great crowds to him. Many of the Pharisees and Sadducees were coming to his baptism, and he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father.' For I say to you, God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe is laid to the root of these trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." We need to be bearing good fruit. Our repentance needs to bear fruit. We need to be mindful that as we head into this season of Lent, we need to be thinking about not just our contrition, but our amendment of life. These are the two criteria that priests look at when they hear confessions. Is the penitent contrite? Are they sorry for their sins? If not, they're not confessing, they're bragging. And do they intend amendment of life? Sometimes sins have a hold on people, and as much as they try, they can't break free. That's why they go to confession. But you have to be intending to change your life. If you go to confession and you've got no intention of changing what's wrong, you're not confessing, you're just whining. So, we need to be mindful as we head into this season. We've talked about evaluating our lives and examining our consciences and making sure that we root out hypocrisy. But as we head into this season, we have to look at our own consciences and make sure that we aren't just saying the things to others and even to ourselves. Saying, yes, I'm really sorry that I do this. I am upset with myself. I wish that I would change. It is wrong of me to do this. Yes, all of those are true. But we have to bear fruit worthy of that repentance. See, in Hebrew, repentance isn't a mental word. It's not a word that says, I'm going to change my mind. It is a word that suggests direction. It is a word that says, I am going to change the direction in which I am going. I was heading east, now I'm going to head west. I was heading in a path towards sinfulness, now I'm going to go in a path towards righteousness. I'm literally going to change my direction. I will turn away. That's bearing fruit. Now, if we could do this on our own, we wouldn't need a Savior. We can resolve to do this all we want. But ultimately, we have to find our strength in Christ. Ultimately, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because the ability to overcome sin is not in us, it is in Christ, who has already overcome every temptation and conquered death and the grave. We can't overcome sin on our own, but he already has. So we can find that strength in him. We can be in Christ. And in Christ, we can overcome all of that. And fortunately, he gives himself to us at every occasion. He gives himself to us in prayer. He gives himself to us in the Eucharist. He gives himself to us in opportunities to see him in Scripture. He gives himself to us over and over and over again that we may find ourselves in him. And finding ourselves in him, we can remain in him. And remaining in him, we can abide in him. And abiding in him, we can find our life in him, that we may be those vines that bear good fruit, that we may never be those that are pruned and thrown into the fire, that we may always be part of that body that continues to have new members grafted in and continues to grow and bear fruit and be attractive to others. Not some dead vine that's an eyesore, but something that is pleasing to the world, something that is appealing. You know, when he's talking about vines, he's talking about grapevines from which we get wine, which was one of the most pleasant things that anybody could possibly drink in the ancient world. It was clean because of the fermentation process. This was something that appealed to everyone. That's how we need to be. We need to bring people to us. We need to be in Christ that we can bear those fruits of repentance and lead others to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.